guys something with Moffitt, but I don't remember exactly what. So
yesterday we also had this theme, right? Tomorrow we begin what's called the Shlosh Yesterday Gala, the 3 days that come right before Shavuot. And today has its own name. Yom HaMiyuchas. Yom HaMiyuchas. Exactly why do we refer to this day, Beis Sivan, as Yom HaMiyuchas? What's it mean? Where did it get its name? So there are those who suggest that it's the Lashon Saginohar. Saginohar is a way of saying someone who can't speak, they have learned a lot. It's a euphemism. In other words, we want to say the opposite. They explain that the Kiddush that we say by day is much shorter than the main Kiddush Friday night when Shabbos is being ushered in. That's real Kiddush. That's a whole bracha of the Kiddush of Shabbos. The Kiddush by day is simply a Vorpia Gafen. We have a token of Kalotuki that we say before that. So we call it Kiddusha Rabbah, which is a way of saying the opposite, meaning it's the minor Kiddush. It's not the Kiddush. Main Kiddush is Friday night. So in a similar vein, there are those who say Yom HaMiyuchas is the day in Sivan leading to Matan Torah. It doesn't have any special association with a particular status. In other words, Shlosh Yisrimi HaGbala are all Shlosh Yisrimi HaGbala. Rosh Chodesh is Rosh Chodesh. And the second day sort of doesn't have anything that you can latch on to. So therefore, we give it the expression Yom HaMiyuchas as if to say the opposite. It's the day that doesn't seem to have a particular status per se. So we say Yom HaMiyuchas. Okay, that's how some explain it. But the truth is that there's a better explanation that will come from meeting Sukkim and see exactly what was spoken on this day, on this Sivan, and with that, we'll understand better why the very appropriate name of Yom HaMiyuchas for the day of Beis Sivan. Okay, so that will get explained as we go forward in the ship. Okay, now let's maybe look at the Sukkim that begin the Parsha of Matan Torah. That should be in the second set of sheets I sent you. And then we'll look at some of the Gemaras and the Rashis along the way. We'll see how we'll go back and forth that we can't get a sense of the days that lead up to Matan Torah. Bachodesh HaShlishi, we all know this pasuk. Bachodesh HaShlishi, Letzeis B'nei Yisrael Me'eretz Mitzrayim, the days of Egypt, Bayom HaZeh Bo Midbar Sinai. So we're discussing now the arrival at HaSinai. Now the Torah was at Sinai in the third month, Bayom Hazeh. Bayom Hazeh is a bit ambiguous. Bayom, on this day, what does that mean? It could be any day, what day? So Rashi tells us that Bayom Hazeh means on Rosh Chodesh. Gemara and Shabbos day. Zemu Rosh Chodesh. In other words, if it doesn't say what day, it defines the month, Bayom Hazeh, that day. The day is the first day of the month. It means that the arrival at HaSinai was on Rosh Chodesh Sivan. It's interesting to see in terms of our calendar this year. It may actually correlate very well, at least with one of the sheets that work out the dates of the week with the dates of the month. So, according to Rashitas Rav Yossi, it actually works out perfectly. And in terms of the way it works, really, our calendar this year is the same as that of 2448 of creation, at least starting out with Yetzias Mitzrayim. And again, it may diverge at some point at the end of the year. We'll see if we can get to that point, how many days were in a year that year. But Yetzias Mitzrayim was on a Thursday. That means a test of Nisan was Thursday, and it may very well be that what we have right now, we're going to see by yesterday, Sunday, and going on in the week, is exactly what happened in that year as well. So that's the Bayom Hazeh. Now Rashi also brings a nice message that can also be gleaned from the words Bayom Hazeh. What does it say Bayom Hazeh? Exactly, Bayom Hazeh, Bayom Ha'hu. It would also mean by default day that we would actually address this day. Rashi tells us a very nice chazal. Lo yitzar chichtov el b'yom ahu, ma'o b'yom hazeh, shiyu d'beitom b'chim m'lech, k'ilu ha'lom nidhim. The words of Torah should be seen as new, as if you got them today. It's not an old, old decree, an old series of commandments we just received. And every day there's a new experience of Kabbalah Satorah. We have this idea, of course, many times stressed. For example, in our Kriya Shema, we talk about Ha'ivam Ha'elash and Elohim Tzavcha Hayom Alev Avecha. We view the commandments of the Torah as if they're being given every day. And of course, the idea is that if a person feels that it's new, it's fresh, then they're excited by something new. That's the nature of a human being. When a person feels something is new, then they're more excited about it. And so actually, we should view Torah as that, as if we're new experience every shiur and every day, an opportunity to learn is fresh too. That's the message of Yom Hazeh. Either way, in terms of our chronology, we understand that the Yom Hazeh of the Torah is Rosh Chodesh Siman. Let's continue with the next pasuk. Vayitzer Fidim, Vayom Hazeh. The Torah goes back and describes the journey from the previous destination, the previous place where they were, and they got through Fidim. That's where they were prior to coming to Har Sinai. We know about Refidim from Parshas Bishalach. What were some of the main events that took place in Refidim? Anyone give me some highlights of Refidim? What took place in Refidim? Amalek. Mechemes Amalek took place in Refidim. That took place over 2 days. Because it says that Moshe tells Yoshua, Machar Anochi Nitzav Rosh HaGiva Mata Kebiyadi. So there was the beginning of the war, and then Moshe knew that it would take the next day to have to fight, so they had to be defeated, obviously, at least 2 days. It was Lachemes Amalek. What else does the Torah tell us occurred in Refidim? There's a place in Refidim that has its own name based on a particular incident in Moshe, but not very important as well for understanding the Torah. If you can look in Bishach 5, you will remember it. What else took place in Refidim?
Mara.
No, don't confuse Mara. You're saying good, but not exactly. There's some similarity to Mara, but it's important to see why this kind of shit is very important here. Mara was a place in the Midbar where B'nai Yisrael had a problem with the water. First, they had no water, and then they got to water. The water was bitter, and the water was bitter, so they called it place Mara. Now, that's earlier on in Bishalach. That's soon right after Kriyas Yamsuf. 3 days they journey into Midbar Shur, and then they had this incident with the Mara, and the water became sweet. Miraculously, Hashem showed Moshe a way to make the water sweet. That's Mara. Now, the reason why he's confused Refidim with Mara is because in Refidim you had something similar. What happened in Refidim? The Ein Mayim L'Shtosa Av. The Torah says that they had no water. And that's when Hashem told Moshe to take a staff, a mata, and to hit the rock. This time it says to hit the rock. It says standing over the tour of Choreh, and Choreh and Refidim were not too far away. And Moshe told to hit the rock, and the water would come out, the water became not the tank. But it says in the pasuk there that they named this place, what did they name it? The specific spot where they were complaining about the water had its own name. This is not Mar was the other tour. What they called it? Tour, each starts with a mem. Or if you want, you can say it's really one starts with a vav because it's one masa u meriva. Masa meriva. And that is a critique of Kaisel. We know Kaisel, you could say, were naughty over the course of the time in the Midbar. The Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos, there were 10 tests that they tested Hashem. And in time, worked out exactly how you get to the 10, the Meraglim was the 10th, but you have specific places and claim that this and that, that is a test of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But this test gets singled out in the Torah. And it says, because B'nai Yisrael were borrowed from Moshe, they tested Hashem, and they wanted to know, is Hashem with us or not? That's the question that they were posing. They interested to come in with Ayin. And right after that was the Yom HaOlek. So there's obviously a connection between the doubting that Israel had that was manifest by asking about the water and Amalek's attack. Now, why do I say the Torah seals this out, this episode in Refidim? Because there's another pasuk, a very important pasuk in Chumash, not in Parshas Bishalach, but in Parshas Veschanan. Moshe Rabbeinu was going over the various events of what happened in the Midbar and gives a Musar in different ways. That's a pasuk in Mishkan toward the end. Do not test Hashem as you tested him in Masa. That's according to the story of Refidim. It's an Isser to test Hashem, and it's codified in the name of Mitzvah. Exactly what does that mean? According to the Rambam, it has to do with testing a Navi, doubting a Navi. According to the Rambam, other portion, it has to do with still there, but it's just about a cloud of fuss. The next day, Asian, and getting reward, that goes into the idea of Los Pasus Hashem, and it's all connecting there. Okay, so we know a little bit about Rephidim, and we know that Torah tells us that they journeyed from Rephidim and they arrived at Har Sinai. Vayachnu b'midbar, they encamped in the midbar. Vayichan sham Yisrael neged har. Those famous words emphasize the unity of Klal Yisrael. Vayichan sham Yisrael, they now encamp as one, as Rashi says, ki isha chad b'leidachad, when they now, there's a point of chronology here as well, since we're going to talk about chronology. So the Torah says they journey from Rephidim, and they arrive at Har Sinai. Now, in terms of the arrival at Har Sinai, we've already established the arrival date was Rosh Chodesh Sivan. Right? That's clear. Now, if I can answer the following question. When did they leave Rephidim? How long did it take to get from Rephidim to Har Sinai? A short distance, obviously. We know that the rock, in Rephidim, he hit the rock in Choreb, and the water flowed down to Rephidim where the people were. So it wasn't a very big distance. And it was like a travel distance. So exactly what were these, the relationship between the journey of Rephidim and the Rabbi Har Sinai? So it's actually a question in the Gemara and Shabbos. I don't know if we'll get a chance to get things started, so I'll give you a little bit of a, you know, perspective outside. But it comes down to the following question. Now, for this, I'm going to give you another piece of information that, again, we'll be able to look at more carefully soon enough. And that's the following. The day of the week of Rosh Chodesh Sivan, what day of the week was it? Does anyone know what I'm getting at? That year of Mantara, 2448 to creation, Rosh Chodesh Sivan would fall out on what day of the week? On Sunday, that's what, who said, Eliyahu said? Okay, anyone have another possibility? Give me another possibility.
What?
So, Eliyahu said Sunday. Do I hear Monday?
Monday,
excellent. Okay, so I'm going to tell you you're both right. Why are you both right? What the Gemarans are saying in Shabbos, again, is doing it all outside now, is the Machukas Tanoyin to Rabbi Yossi and the Chacham. And that Machukas really has to do with the date itself of Matan Torah. You've probably heard this at some point over the years. What day did the Bnei Yisrael hear the Aseres HaDibros? What day of Sivan? So, the famous machlokes is as follows. Was it Bar Sivan, which is what we seem to assume when we celebrate Shavuos and Bar Sivan? Or was it in fact Zayin Sivan? The day of Aseres HaDibros. Now the Gemara explains as follows. The Gemara in Shabbos and Sugyadir and Perek of Yakiva, Pei Zayin, that all agree that Torah was given on what day of the week? What day of the week was the Torah given? Shabbos. So the question therefore would be, was Shabbos of Matan Torah in the calendar Vav Sivan, or was Shabbos Matan Torah Zayin? And now you understand, if you go back in time, that goes to the question that I just asked a minute ago, Elior and Yaakov Moshe, you gave me both correct answers depending on which opinion we're going with. If all agree on the Torah was on Shabbos, this is only one. The last Shabbos was Vav Zayin Sivan, then you have to go back and say, well, if Shabbos Matan Torah was Zayin Sivan, then Rosh Chodesh Sivan would have been, Eliyahu said, would be Sunday. If Shabbos Matan Torah was Vav Sivan, then the day of Rosh Chodesh, they have arrived, was on Monday. Okay. That in turn, all from the Gemara Shabbos, all in your packet, and in turn depends on the following question. What is most closely seen on Sunday or Monday? In other words, trivia question. The day so arrived, and I've seen that everyone's going to say, I know, they came on most closely seen. I always said, a follow-up question. The day that they arrived, they asked them, was it, what day of the week was it? Sunday or Monday? Machlokas of Yossi Nachacham. What does it depend on? Anyone want to guess what would depend on? If Rosh Chodesh was Saturday or Monday, think of their calendar for a second. What would be the Shaila?
How many
days? Year. Was Iyar a month which is Chaser, 29-day month? Or was Iyar Moly? We know our calendar is set and fixed by Cheshvan, so we basically know which months are going to be 29 and which months are 30. Of the 12 months of a year, a non-leap year, so we know that 5 are always going to be Chaser 29 days, and 5 are always going to be Moly, and they alternate. There are only 2 months that can sometimes fluctuate. Both can sometimes be Moly or Chaser, or could be 1 and 1. And those 2 months, anyone know a little bit about the calendar? Which 2 months can sometimes be 1 and 1 or sometimes Moly? I know I'm getting a little bit parenthetical here, but those 2 months are Cheshvan and Kislev. So that means the following, you know. If I get a trivia question, how many days in a lunar calendar of a non-leap year? So you always heard the answer is how many days in the lunar calendar? You always heard the number 350 what?
4.
Before. Now that's assuming that it's going to be Mali Chaser throughout the 12 months. And then it comes out 6 months being 30 days. 6 months being 5 days, gives you 354, but 6 that's then 360. Or it could be 30 times 12, 360, 354. However, there could be what's called a Shana Chasera or Shana Malaya. Those are the exceptional years where you have a situation because of the way the Ruach is set up. You can have Cheshvan and Kislev both being Chasim, in this case, maybe 53, or if Cheshvan and Kislev both being Malay, which in this case will be 35. But that's it. Those are the possibilities for the lunar calendar. So we know how it works for us. Basically, for us, year is always going to be how many days? 29 days. That's why Rosh Chodesh Sivan is always going to be 1 day, right? If it's a year, if a month which is chaser, then the following Rosh Chodesh is the day Rosh Chodesh, the day 30, the first day Rosh Chodesh is day 30 of the previous month. Okay, so but in the time when things were based on the year and eyewitnesses and so on, it wouldn't always be at all, we just said. It could be anything. Any month could be 29 or 30. So the Gemara says that the year that year had 29 days or 30 days. So according to Shitas Rabbi Yossi, Iyar was 29 days. So therefore, 29th of Iyar was Shabbos. Right? Not everybody agrees 29th was Shabbos. But what was Sunday? Sunday was Rosh Chodesh Sivan. That was the day of arrival. According to Rabbanan, Iyar was Moly. So Sunday was not Rosh Chodesh Sivan, was not Aleph Sivan. Sunday was Lamed Iyar. And then Rosh Chodesh Sivan, Aleph Sivan was Monday. Now, getting back to the question I asked you. Yisrael feed him. I asked you the question. I know they arrived at Har Sinai on Rosh Chodesh Sivan, but when did they leave for feed him? So, this is an interesting question for the following reason. It formed for Abdul's student, the Chachamim. The answer is because the journey from feed him to Har Sinai would not have taken more than a day. Which means either they left the same day of arrival, or they left the day before. But those are our options. Now, look at the Chachamim. So it's so important for us to realize, to analyze, did they leave Refidim on Monday and arrive on Monday? Did they leave Refidim on Sunday and arrive on Monday? Okay, whatever it is, they arrive on Monday. But you'll see it has implications for an interesting Shiloh. It's all from the Shiloh in Shabbos. Namely, if they arrived on Sunday and they left on Shabbat, it means they were allowed to journey from Shabbat. They would not have violated any Easter. Even though maybe there's an Easter Shabbos that could be violated. What Easter Shabbos might be violated by leaving feet on Shabbat? what Isser of Shabbos could be violated, the Gemara says? What would you call that?
Tchumen.
You can't travel whatever amount, you'd base mil being the shear that usually associate with Doraisa. Tchumen is Doraisa. Okay? But if they hold the Isser Tchumen is Doraisa, which is not Pashut, Rabbi Akiva Shita is Tchumen is Doraisa, then you can't. So then how can they travel? Now, what do you mean? Torah can get what you're supposed to travel. What kind of problem should it be of Isser Shabbos? Torah wasn't given yet. What's the answer?
They were given Shabbos already.
Oh, they were given Shabbos. This could be one of the possible topics that we'll talk about the next 2 days, but not all today. They were given the Mitzvah of Shabbos before Matan Torah. They were given the Mitzvah of Shabbos that we are. Now Shimon tells us before, about the water.
Mara
was famous for a lot of things. One of the things was they were given mitzvahs in the Torah, and one of those mitzvahs is Shabbos. So if Shabbos was given in Mara already, and Shabbos tells the Isser Tchumen, as we have in the Pesukim Parshas B'Shalach in connection to the Mana, Yetzei Ish Mimkomo, and so on, Tchumen, and if you hold to this Dorasa, so then the question is, could they have traveled from Rishon on Shabbos? After all, they were bound by the Isser Shabbos, which includes Tchumen. So the question would be the following. Maybe Shabbos was given in Mara, but Tchumen, that didn't yet apply. Not every aspect of Shabbos had to be necessarily given at once. Shabbos can be seen as having an evolution. Certain aspects of Shabbos come into effect only at later stages. So maybe Tchumen, although it's part of the Isser Shabbos, it wasn't yet in effect at Mara. Therefore, could have traveled from Rafidim, leaving Rafidim on Shabbos, on Sunday. That's one Amora, one sheep in the Gemara. So therefore, that's assuming that Tchumen was not included in the Isser of Shabbos of Mara. And the other show, that Tchumen was included in Isser Shabbos back from Mara, in which case they could have not traveled on Shabbos. They had to have left Rafidim on the same day, Sunday, only to arrive on the same day. This is all outside the Gemara. That's in terms of the inyan of when they left Rafidim and the question of whether Tchumen was included. Now, all of this is assuming the Isser Tchumen be considered a price of Tchumen. It's not everyone's opinion of the Tanoim. But the Akiva is the one who holds Tchumen's midoraisa. If we hold Nag Rabbi Akiva, we have to modify what the Gemara means. Gemara says whether Mitzuba and Tchumen by Mara or not. So Rishonim point out, Tosis already and other Rishonim say that Tchumen could be Lav Dafka. Tchumen might actually mean Lav Malachis. And it would mean that possibly, although the Isser Shabbos was given by Mara, maybe Mara of the 9 did not yet apply. And what Isser would you compare in your mind of all the Malachis, of Ilamites Malachis to Tchumen? What would you have the most association with when you think of the Malachis? What didn't mean Tchumen literally? Which Malacha? Which Malacha comes to mind? Take going from place to place, what Malacha would you associate with that?
Carrying?
Yeah?
What's that?
Carrying. In other words, you have to take the animals and you have to carry things and load the animals and bring it from place to place. They carry themselves, they would put on the animals, then you get into the Shiloh Machamer, which is an Isser also. But it could be the Gemara means, Tosa suggests Gemara means Hotzah. So the Gemara would mean, did the Malacha of Hotzah apply yet from Mara or not? If the Malacha of Hotzah did apply, so then they couldn't have left to feed them on Shabbos because that would apply to carry the things with them. If Hotzah wasn't yet part of the Hilchos Shabbos from Mara, it only came into effect later, then they could have well traveled from Rafidim on Shabbos, because there's no problem of Hutzah. So this is all I just spoke out of a bunch of lines in the Gemara, Hidayim and Bezim Shabbos, all relating to one Pasuk in Chodesh, right? By Yisim and Rafidim, by Vomin Basinai. So I asked you, we figured out from the previous Pasuk, we arrived at our Sinai on Rosh Chodesh Sivan, when did they leave Rafidim? So we simply filled in some of the blanks, right? Assuming that they arrive on Sunday, then we have to figure out Machlokes Samaraim whether they left Rafidim on Shabbos or on Sunday, depending on what we just described, how far the Isser Shas and Mara went. Okay. They go back to our Seder Ketubim. Now, we're holding still on Rosh Chodesh Sivan. Umosha Allah El Elohim. Now, Moshe now ascends toward the mountain, to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And now we're going to have back and forth communication from HaKadosh Baruch Hu to Moshe. Moshe comes down, communicates to the people. Moshe conveys to the people his thoughts back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's going to happen for a few times back and forth. Moshe Aler Elohim took place when? So Rashi comments immediately. This is now the next day. Now we're holding Bei Sivan, because Kohal Yosef Beshkamahayu. Anytime Moshe goes up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu to communicate, it wasn't in the middle of the day, it was bright and early in the morning. Shenemar, Bayashki, Moshe Laboker, it's written by Luchos Shnios, and we understand this is always what was. Moshe always went up in the morning. So now, the first day, there was no communication given to Kohal Yisrael. They were just, you might say, resting from their trip with a large number of people. It was an intense trip that had even taken place within a span of hours. If they journeyed the same day, they left the same day. So the Gemara actually says, here in Shabbos, on the first day, nothing was told them. This is on the Gemara, Shabbos, the above, and the base of the Bahrain. B'chad b'Shabbat, lo'omar lo'hu d'om midi. Well, I just described, by the way, the cheshbon of whether the month was year, was Mali or Chaser. It's right, that first piece of Gemara, on the first page of the Gemara sheets, Pevav and Beis. You read it afterwards, you'll see exactly the machokas about whether Rosh Chodesh was Sunday or Monday, depending on what year was Mali or Chaser. That's the Gemara. Then the Gemara continues and said, "B'chad b'Shabbata lo'ama lo'u b'lom nidi." No communication was given. Shemchusha be'orcha. They had to rest from their trip. Important lesson in life, you have to be really taking new learning, new information. Sometimes you need downtime, you need rest, you need to have a kochel. So the rest of the day is just to rest. Okay. Choshe ve'orcha. Now, Monday, according to Rabbi Yossi, let's go for Rabbi Yossi now, it'll be Monday or Tuesday, Beis Sivan, either way, Moshe Ola Elohim. Early in the morning, Beis Sheni of Sivan, Moshe goes up. And Hashem gives them a whole series of words which are very ennobling, very uplifting words. What does Hashem say? Ko somal beis Yaakov, v'shagid beis so shall you have beis Yaakov. We have the famous invitation that Rashi brings us from the Mechilta. Who are beis Yaakov and who are b'nei Yisrael? Beis Yaakov are the women, and that was his somar b'lash v'racha and sculpted tone. The Sagil of Bnei Yisrael are harsher, Onshin, and that's Bnei Yisrael, those are the men. And now we have the following message given, again, for the women, for the men. Interesting, women with book two first. And now we have three stukim of words, very beautiful, uplifting, setting the tone for everything that's to come. These three stukim capture the essence, you might say, of what HaKadosh Baruch Hu expects of us with Matan Torah. Atem re'isem asher sisig mitzvah. Number one, hakar tov, emuna, recognizing what I've done for you. Asher sisig mitzvahim, I care about the matan and nishtarim. Ba'avi haschem eloi, these could be specific references to various stages of the geula from Mitzrayim, when they gathered in Ramses, in a very quick moment. Rashi says, l'esa eschem, again, I can't read with you every Rashi, mistamba, you look at it on your own. I remember once at a Shavuos night when I played Riva in Brooklyn. So I had schus to learn with one of the Rosh Kollel there. And so I was willing to learn whatever he wanted to learn. Shavuos night. What did he want to learn? He wanted to learn the Psukim of Matan Torah B'Iyot. That's what we did for several hours. Literally, pasuk with all the mepharshim that we could find in Kros Gadolos. Just literally trying to delve into every phrase, to every pasuk, to try to expect whatever meanings it's a language, right? It really is. But anyway, V'eses chom al-kanfi nisharin, I carried you on the wings of the eagles, V'avi es chom elo, I brought you close to me after the war, V'ata, M'shamot ishbo v'kol yishvaktim es brishi, Hashem is saying, if you're going to listen to my voice, observe my brish, the brish of Matan Torah, presumably, V'yisim v'yisigula mikol ha'amim, there's a famous expression, V'yisigula an-sigula, you shall be a treasure from all the nations, from Lechas, Kohanim, the great Kaddish, more of the same, this elevated, lofty talk. So Hashem is putting for Kohal Yisrael the vision of what Matan Torah is meant to be. Matan Torah is not just you have to do this and not do this and that's it. Obey me. There's a sense of stature, a sense of status, a sense of recognition that Hashem sees us as unique, as special, as an amsegula. It's important just to see this in the psukim. Now, all of this was when was it told to Moshe? On Beis Siva. Now, let's go back to the question from the beginning of Shir. Can anyone give me a second answer to our question? Why we call today Yom HaMiuchas? Why do we call this Yom HaMiuchas, Beis Sivan? No, can you see the answer? What was told to Israel on Beis Sivan? What message are you being told? That they are, they're distinct, they're unique, they have Yichus, Hashem is holding them in high esteem, they're an Am Segula, they're Mamleches Kohanim, the Kaddish. All these words are driving home the message of how we are miyuchas. We have this unique relationship with the Kaddish Baruch Hu. We're connected to the Kaddish Baruch Hu. That's what Yom HaMiuchas really teaches us. That idea, that's the first time that we're hearing Kaddish Baruch Hu tell us in no uncertain terms. Until now, of course, Hashem loved us. Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim. But here, Hashem is speaking to Moshe to tell us how the Yisim Sibula steal the Mechas Kohan. So appropriate for Yom Beis of Sivan. To be Yom HaMiuchas, right? Okay, so now Moshe is going to convey this to Klal Yisrael. He's calling the elders of the Klal Yisrael, the spokesman. He presents to them all these words. Are you willing to accept my bris, and you understand what's at stake and what this represents? This is what was presented to the Zikei. Vayanu chol ha'am yachta vayomru kosh ediv Hashem na'aseh. And everybody, wasn't just the Canaan, right? The people all respond enthusiastically whenever Hashem spoke na'aseh, we will do. So they're very willing to go over. And Vayashem Moshe is Divrei Ana Lashem, and Moshe is now going to bring that back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the protocol, Moshe Rabbeinu being the broker. So bring that message back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and to bring the message back. So remember the Rashi before? The Rashi before was emphasizing whenever Moshe went up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when was it at the time of day? Always in the morning, Bashkama. So then what would this Vayashem Moshe mean? Moshe is going back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu on what day of Siva now? It has to be the new day, right? So what day are we holding now? Yom? Nu Chevra. What day of Siva are we now? What? Gimel Siva. If it's Tuesday, it's Rabbi Yossi. Good. Okay. That's going back to the question when Rosh Chodesh was. But Gimel Siva, whatever day of the week. And that's what Rashi says. By Yashav Moshe, see the Rashi in Pasuk Ches, if you have it. By Yom HaMachlas, Yehu Yom Shlishi. Shei Vashkam Ma'olam. So he always is going up Hashkam. So Moshe conveys the words, the enthusiastic response of the people, of Korash Adib Hashem Naseh. He does it on Yom Shlishi L'Sivan. And the Rashi adds another interesting point. Rashi so much bringing in Chazal to try to give us a flavor of Chumash to make it alive. Rashi is very selective in the kinds of Chazal that he brings, but it's all somehow connected in the words of the Torah. What did Moshe have to tell HaKadosh Baruch Hu what they said? Hashem knew, of course. The one who sent me knows it. Why bother? The answer is no. There is a protocol. HaKadosh Baruch knows it, but you're the shliach, you do the shlichas, you report back. That's how things work. Okay, so what we just saw was the presentation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's word about what her entails, given on Yom Sheni, and their enthusiastic response, which was reported back by Moshe. Just an interesting diuk in the pasuk, let me present, let me mention as well. Word Vayosem with Nehem. Eis kodvam ha'eleh. And then they respond, because they said, Nasset, Vayosem lifnehem. What else could have been said? What's another word that you could have used instead of lifnehem? He placed what? Yosem? Lahem. Like, Sham Samlo Chokul Mishpat, by Maritz, Sham Samlo. You could say, Vayosem Lahem. Lahem. You have here Vayosem Lifnehem. You have it also in the beginning of the Mishpat. Right, so there you have a Rashi that says it has to do with the idea of, anyone remember the Rashi there? There's a deal of a pasuk, lifnehem. What's the lifnehem? It should place lifnehem before them. What's the answer to lifnehem? Anyone remember there? Kishochan ha'aruch, mukhan to eat, right? That's one shot, and it's chazal. The darshan has to do with the clay hadayonim, the dayonim have concrete physical tools. This is one mahalach, but there's a Ramban. Ramban has a different interesting shot. Ramban is actually, he associates a third pasuk with the same diuk. This is a pasuk in Parshas Veschanan that we all know from, hopefully we still remember those days when we had Kriyas HaTorah, hopefully. So what happens at the time of Hagba? What is the pasuk that we all say in Shul, time of Hagba, pasuk Veschanan? The Zot HaTorah Asher, Tzom Moshe, what? Lifnei, B'nei Yisrael. Lifnei, again, that idea of being some lifnei. So the Ramban is a very afterwards. The idea of being some lifnehem is not just to present information, but to force the other side to give a response. In other words, the ball is in your court. Ask them, are you accepting? To put it, if I would say some low, some hand, it would just mean, okay, there it is. Okay, the best thing is consider that when it be hard. You know, but to say I'm putting it with a necha, that means you can't just be ambivalent. You can't be apathetic. It's either a yes or a no. In other words, I'm forcing your hand. I need a response. There's no, you can't say non-applicable, you can't say don't choose that response. It's either yes, it's the expression of it, it's forcing your choice. That's the Mahalach of the Rabban. And he explains with all the three psukim that we just mentioned, that there's a response is required. Or whatever else. Right? So don't say, stand before, right? You can't just leave it blank, right? So this is what it is over here. But Yosef Lifnei means you need to answer. And of course, he answered him immediately. That's what prompted the response, is we're ready to go. And the Rabban works all those psukim out in Veschanan with Moshe Rabbeinu in the Varim and put them all in the same vein. Now we have Moshe Rabbeinu coming on the third day, reporting to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that yes, they're very excited, they know their namsua, they know their responsibilities, they want to be that, they're ready to take it on. And now, Hashem speaks to Moshe on this same Yom HaShlishi, the Sivan. Yom HaShem HaMoshe, Hinei Anochi Bar Elecha V'at HaAna. Now Hashem gets specific about how the Torah is going to look. Shem describes Moshe, I'm coming to the Adon and taking this dense of the cloud. But for you, so that the people will hear and to speak to you. And they will trust in you forever. You are a Navi that has credibility. So this is a beginning side the Vishnah of the Torah. Shem will speak and people will be hearing. By Yaakid Moshe, this the pasuk is very unclear. What exactly does it mean? Moshe is now relating the words of the people to Hashem, which of course always has to mean that he did it when Hashkama. Rashi is consistent throughout. The time it's supposed to come back to Hashem, it's the next morning. So if Hashem is speaking on Yom Shlishi with these words, Vayagid Moshe would mean on day four of Sivan. Fourth day of Sivan, Moshe gives something back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the name of the people. What he said? What did he say? See, here is a very interesting issue. Rashi comes by Yaakov Moshe and Macharas to reveal Kodesh. And what Rashi then goes on to say here is based on Mechilta, but it's not 100% consistent with the Gemara and Shabbos. Again, we're not looking, we're not time for it, but if you go on in the Gemara, and he says, if you see something different, that we'll see Rashi and Chumash. We know what's coming up in terms of some specific requirements for Torah are Yom Kippur, Hagbalah, and Prisha. We call the 3 days starting tomorrow Shulot Yemei Hagbalah. Right? Hagbalah has to do with marking of mountain. Prisha has to do with the fact that they have to separate from their wives. They have to get ready for Matan Torah in this in these various ways. The question is, when did Hagbalah begin? So from the food and Shabbos, which again, we're not going to have a chance to look necessarily inside right now together in, it seems that there was already a mitzvah Hagbalah that was given now, and that's what the Yaged Moshe has to do, is that they accepted upon themselves the mitzvah Hagbalah. The problem is that the psukim standard is every aspect of the Hagbalah preacher all came to being after Moshe comes with some kind of response, and then Hashem says, okay, now we have coming up some more details that you have to hear about, and that includes Hagbalah, Prisha, as we're going to see. Rashi shows the way it seems in the Psukim themselves, and therefore Rashi needs to find something more in the Vayagid Moshe that we have to put in that's not clear from the Psukim. What could Moshe say if there wasn't anything yet given to them to respond to? What's the Yagi Moshe doing? So, what Rashi said, it's interesting words. They, in fact, made it into a song, a famous Ephraim Fried song, these very words of Rashi, and they now can have more meaning. Moshe has something to add to, he heard from the people and he conveys it to the Shpro on the fourth of Sivan. Something about what Moshe conveyed in the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not sit out with them. What did Hashem say to Moshe to tell Bnei Israel? Hine anochi bo eilecha yakal aran ba'afor b'yishma ha'am b'davri imach. So what is Moshe, what is Hashem telling Moshe? Hashem is speaking to who? Hashem is speaking to Moshe. The people will be listening in on the conversation. But the people were not happy with that. They heard that and they said, no. We don't want it to be that we are spectators, but seriously listening in on Hashem's telling Moshe. We want to have a direct connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We want to feel Hashem to be in touch. We want to see, so to speak, HaKadosh Baruch Hu in His glory, so that the communication is direct. So therefore, Moshe is telling Hashem on the fourth of Sivan that Klal Yisrael want more than what was just said. We don't want just but avodah b'davar imach. We want to see Hashem was Jackin, but see Rashi inside. Tshuva alav es shematimen. There's a response that they had to what Hashem said to Moshe, namely shavim tshomam lishma mcha. Can't appear hearing from an agent, hearing from the king. There's a name here that says, we want to see our king. Very powerful, right? Where does Rashi get this idea that this response that now is making Hashem, you might say, tweak what was originally said? They hear me speak to you, Moshe, and now they say, oh, we want Hashem to speak to us directly. Where did we get this? So we get it from the next pasuk and the pasukim afterwards. Because if you now continue with me now in the next pasuk or two, a couple of things happen here that seem to be triggered by this Hebrew. This is how the Brisk of Rav learns in Chumash. And it's Chora based on the Rashi that we have here, not necessarily the Gemara in Shabbos, but the Rashi. which means this. Now that you're telling me that Matan Torah is going to take place in the way that Bnei Yisrael wanted to take place, not that I will speak to Moshe and they will simply be listening in, but that they want Hashem to speak directly to them, therefore we have to introduce some more details that would not have otherwise been mentioned. Namely, this is all on Dalet Sivan. Hashem is telling Moshe, Lecha la'am, b'kidash them hayom u'machar, prepare them today and tomorrow, b'chidsu shilotam, which means they have to change their garments, they have to be dressed appropriately. Think about why that might be necessary now. They're hearing that Hashem Baruch Hu speak to them, they have to be dressed appropriately, right? They have to clean their garments, and the Targum Onkel says, b'chavru l'bushen, they have to clean their clothing. New clothing, fresh clothing. They shall be ready for that third day. Again, if this would be according to the Chachamim that we need right now, it's obviously on Thursday, they'll be ready for Shabbos. If it's Rav Yossi, we have to figure out how to deal with these psukim. The Gemara does that. Either way, Kibayom Hashvishi, says Hashem, on the third day, the day that was going to be planned in the Matan Torah, Yer Hashem in Chalom HaZinai. Here you see key words. Why is all this necessary? Because on that third day, what will be Yerid Hashem le'enei Chol Ha'am al Har Sinai? This is where we understand what the Vayagid Moshe was. Where do we see Vayagid Moshe is that they wanted to hear directly Hashem and see Hashem? It's implied by the words Yerid Hashem le'enei Chol Ha'am. As opposed to earlier, it just says, Yishak Kabinach. That's not Hinzalus directly that opens up the heavens for Hashem to reveal himself to Kal Yisrael. But that's not enough for them. They want to get some of the Rosh Hashanah. Hashem says, okay, so then we have to add some new details. B'kidash tam hayom u'machar, b'chitzusim losam, hayu nechonu ashti. All these things to be explained more specifically, but for now, generalities, these new aspects are introduced because what is it that you want? Ki bayom ashkisha yerid Hashem eni kolam al Har Sinai. Okay. Now again, seemingly the mitzvah Hagbala was only introduced right now, again, on Dalet B'Chodesh. Based on the fact that they said we want to see Hashem, so now it talks about them walking with it now. And then, according to the Gemara, this could have been the day earlier. Then that's detailed in the Gemara. Mark off the mountain around it. Mark off the people. Hisham Rilachem, you can't go too close. You can't go up in the mountain. You can't even touch part of the mountain. The Gemara could say, or come to get a birth most fast. Don't be warned. Can't touch the mountain. Not even a human being. Not even an animal. You'll see a bayak. He's a bayak. You'll hear that. They'll be punishable. He's stoning. In behem, ishlo yichya. The shokha yobi alhem yad lahar. Only when the extended out, now glass of the shokha made a permitted to go up the mountain. Exactly when that was is a whole question. But there was a certain point that it became mutter to go up in Hasin. Okay. What happened on Dalet Sivan, where Hashem is now telling them there's going to be the third day, which is seemingly above Sivan, for now for the Chachamim. For those kids that become the next day, Moshe added the day, you see. Here is Moshe Minahar al-Am, by Yikadish al-Am, by Yikadzul Shemlosam. Again, whatever the details have to do with, the change of the clothing, second, the what, see in a second. By Yomer al-Am, here in the Chum Shoshes Yom, and here he says, for 3 days, I'll teach you Isha. Now, here, see what Hashem's saying. When is it going to happen? On the Yom HaShlishi. What were Moshe's words? Now, you could have said in the Pshuto, that it means the same thing. So it means the third day. This has a different way to read it. Originally, Hashem would have revealed a week, but it was meant to happen the week. Had it been Hashem's way, what would have been the day of the week for Matan Torah? No? Vav Sivan would have been Friday, right? Now, Moshe Rabbeinu took it on himself. An amazing thing, all the sukkahs are Gemara. Again, we're learning it through the prism of the Chumash. Moshe Rabbeinu took it on himself and added the day. So that's why it says the Shmosha Sivanim, says Rashi, the Tzogim Uyamin, who don't doubt it. So what, again, if remember, if it was the 4th of Sivan by the Wednesday, and Hashem on the 3rd day, that would be Friday, Moshe says, the Shmosha Sivanim, 3 days meaning not the 3rd day, but 3 days meaning 4 days. Now it's middle of Wednesday. So now you have to figure out, you either have the extra day that takes up the Shabbos. As she said, you know, called Shoshis Yanin, we saw him, Yanin, who young dies, chosen Moshe Yamachan, back to Kedir Yosti. We all remember Shichabach Kosh, and knew what's there, there was close at Moshe Kuba. The Shoshis Yanin means Kimo Yom Ashley, she means the same thing as this. Now we describe what happened on that Yom HaShlishi. And on bright and early in the morning, the Torah describes the source that we say in our davening. That's what Ibrahim HaShlishi just said. Okay, when we say this davening, Pasuk HaZayin, when do we recite this Pasuk in davening? When?
Rosh
Hashanah Shofros, right? In Musaf Rosh Hashanah. One of the Pesukim of Shofros, the old Bat Matan Torah in the Torah Pesukim, this is one of them. Very strict, very vivid, very graphic descriptions of the town and the sites of that day. Only for speaking of this, this is all preliminary. Kosh Shofar Chazak, oh, the people were terrified. They didn't know they were getting it off with, right? By saying the same was about Canaan. Terrified by Moshe Stone, Kazakhana. Moshe brings them out by Yisyat and the Sakhi Sahar. They stood beneath the mountain, the famous idea that Chazal say, just imagine that the noun was literally above them. That's the expression that Chazal used to draw the concept, specialize it to develop as well. Kafalim Harkigigis. Exactly how to work that out with Nasa Venishma is for another time. Okay, Hasina Ashikulam, the description more about Hasina being like furnace to images, it's for people to relate. Again, by Yahweh Kalaharma, oh, the mountain was shaking, the Koa Shofar, another pasuk from Rosh Hashanah Davening, and Koa Shofar, Holy Chazik Ma'od. Moshe Rabbeinu can get another cult, exactly what that verse is, an explanation, but what is Moshe, the home of the Tiddles, before the Tiddles. Either way, Ayeir Hashem on Hasinai Rosh Ahar, Hashem descends on Hasinai, this is again, the Yom of Matan Torah, Vav HaSiva. Moshe tells Moshe last words before Aseret HaDibros. Hashem says, warn them again not to break through Pen Yersu Hashem Liros, lest a lot of them end up dying. Even one person is a lot. The Kohanim, what they are near station, they have to be feared. Moshe says to Hashem, they can't do it. You warned them already. Hashem says, still go down and warn them again. You and Aaron who have your case, you can do more. The Kohen Ha'am cannot go beyond them. Vayed Moshe Ha'am, Vayom Barlem. Now Moshe conveys the warning and then the Bilkin. Okay, from reading Parshas Yisro, we don't get the full picture. Certainly not according to Rashi. And here again, let's introduce at least Rashi's half of the equation. Rashi alludes to it here, and then more so in Parshas Mishpatim. We'll go back to an earlier Rashi. If you look in Rashi, in Pasuk Yud, okay, so here we have, we're back to the 4th of Sivan. Now, let's go with the Shita of the Chachamim now. The Chachamim was to say that Shkodet Sivan was Monday, so Da'at Sivan would have been Thursday, Matan Torah Vav Sivan was Shabbos. Now, what happened on Thursday and Friday? What happened on Dad and Hay of Sivan? So, reading Parshas Yisro, the only thing we would sense about what happened on Dad and Hay of Sivan was the beginning of preparations in terms of separating the wives, in terms of the Northern Mountain, right? And that's what we have, and that's what's discussed over here. Anything else that we know about? Not Hashkisra. Rashi, though, since is only one shikra among the Farshim and even with the Chazal, but this is Shikra's Rashi. Take a look at Rashi, the Hayu Nikonim Bayom Hashilishi. Rashi, Bayom Hashilishi, Shehu, Shisha, Shishi, Shichalish. Rashi is going according to which Shita here? This is the Shita of Rabban, right? Rashi is going to Rabban. Rashi, who's your Rabbi in the other husband? That's right. Continues Rashi. Bahanishi, Bahana Moshe et Hamzeach, Taklas Ahar. On the fifth day of Tzivah, the day before Sfilas Tzivah, Moshe built his Beach. Ushen Esrei Masteva, he had 12 pillars. Kala Kinyan, Amr, the Pashas, the Ela Mishpatim, the Ein Mokam Uhur Kerbetal. Now, Rashi is saying now for him. Rashi is telling us there are more events that have to be put into the storyline in Parshas Yitzchak that are not recorded in Parshas Yitzchak. And what does he specifically mention? The building, the Mizbeach, and Shnei Mesir Matseva, and everything else described in the Mishpat. So to appreciate what he's saying, this is not only Shita, this is clearly not the Ramban's approach, but at least for now, it's at least hard to get Rashi's approach. So what is Rashi referring to? So we have to go to Parshas Mishpatim. What separates the storyline in Yisro from the storyline of Matan Torah Mishpatim? Let's be clear. What separates? So after Aseres Hadibros, we have next. Let's track the Torah from Aseres Hadibros in Yisro all the way to the end of Mishpatim, just to see how things are. So, right after Aseres Hadibros, take a look, Chaf Tezvav. There's a couple of psukim that describe the people's terror. And they ended up shaking and pulling back. And they told Moshe, let not Hashem be to us. Moshe said, don't be afraid. Hashem is on the test to raise you up. Okay, exactly when that took place, we have to figure out. Was it after Aseres Hadibros? Was it before? So, question in chat. You guys finish with now or whatever else. Rashi, Rabban, a lot of people after that. Good. Not what happened, but after the Mishnah, when that occurred. But now we get to the Maftir. Here, there's no question when this took place. Yom HaShem El Moshe, Koso Maro B'nei Yisrael, Atem Re'isen Kimin HaShemayim Dibarati Imachem. Okay, so I asked, when did Hashem speak these words to Moshe? Before or after Aseres Hadibros? Answer is, nice. When? Read the words. Atem Re'isen Kimin HaShemayim Dibarati Imachem. So obviously this is all Hashem speaking to Moshe after Aseres Hadibros, correct? Right? After Aseres Hadibros. Now what comes next? Some halakhos relating to Avodah Zarah, relating to the Mizbeach and how it should be constructed. Okay, we don't have time to go through Pasuk, but you can see it in front of you. And that takes us to the end of Parashat Yisro. Right? What happens next? I don't know if you have your chumash, but the next Pasuk after Yisro reads, Ve'ela ha-mishpatim asher tosim lefneihem. So which means, this is a continuation of Hashem's words to Moshe, which begin with So the entire series of Mishpatim that take up most of Parshas Mishpatim were communicated by HaKadosh Baruch Hu to Moshe when? Before or after Aseres Hadibros? No doubt about it. When? When did Hashem tell Moshe all those words in Mishpatim that are described in Pasuk Mishpatim? All comes at the end of Yisro, right? So all given after Aseres Hadibros, right? Yep. Now he gets the storyline at the end of Mishpatim. Here it gets interesting. Go to page 8 and have the Torah going back to a storyline on the Torah. And then it goes on and says, Moshe is now going to tell Bnei Yisrael, Pasuk Gimel, Chav Dal Gimel. He relates to Bnei Yisrael, is Kodir Hashem, Be'ez Kol HaMishpatim. Now, knowing what you just know, what we just went over, how would you assume the meaning of the Pasuk to be? What will be Oz Mishpatim? And Moshe is telling over to Bnei Yisrael. So you assume it would have to be the Mishpatim. But if you said that, then you have no choice but to understand the storyline of the Mishpatim as having taken place after Matan Torah. Rashi sets us straight. Look at Moshe. And Rashi says, Parsha Zu Nemra Kodem Aseres Hadibros. The Dalad Besiva Nemra Lo Ale. The section at the end of Mishpatim, not the last couple, the section from the Moshe of Dalad, the storyline of the Atonement and that paragraph, is all going back to the two days at Stephen Mishpatim. And so it's right here, takes place over 2 days. What happens is, Moshe goes over the day of Shemin Mishpatim, which for Rashi has to mean not Pasha's Mishpatim. But if you look at Rashi, Rashi says, look at Rashi in Pasuk Gimel. What are the Dibre Hashem? It's Rashi. On four of the Sivan, what is Moshe give over? Mitzvah, three Shabbat Ha'bala. So Rashi's learning that the Dibre Hashem that Moshe is telling over in Pasuk Gimel is three Shabbat Ha'bala. And what's called Mishpatim? So Rashi could say in Pasuk Mishpatim, it's Shev Mitzvah B'nei Noach, Shabbos, Kibbutz Be'en, Paraduma, Bedinim of Mara. Wow, so according to Rashi, we are talking about something that taking place before Matan Torah, before Aseres HaDibros. Now, what Moshe do? Stand, Kol Hashem Hashem Matzvah. Moshe doesn't allow it. He writes it down. Why does he write down? So again, you could have thought he wrote down the mitzvahs after Matan Torah. No. The story of the spreading years happened before Aseres HaDibros. What did Moshe write? As she says, what the Bible, he wrote gracious, still mad at all. He wrote it down in the Torah, he wrote the mitzvah of Mark. Now, by that came by both of them, even Mizbeach. Now, the next day, right early, he builds a Mizbeach. They had big bonnets. So, what day of Sivan would be by asking a book of Bain Mizbeach? So, what day of Sivan Mashi? I should go to the Chomet right now. Mashi Bezivan. So this parallels Rashi that you saw in Parashat Yisro, that on he built in his bed. And it goes on to describe the ceremony of the Kriyas Brit. So what do we see from here? According to Shita Rashi, the storyline of Matan Torah in Yisro has to be supplemented by the storyline of Parashat Mishpatim at the end of Mishpatim. And the events that took place over 2 days in Mishpatim, starting with Moshe over the serious mitzvos and writing down in the Sefer Bris, and then building the Mizbeach the next day and meeting from the Sefer Bris and people in Asa Ben Ishma, those famous for Asa Ben Ishma are Mishpatim. After Moshe for the Sefer Bris is in Asa Ben Ishma. So when was that done? When was Asa Ben Ishma uttered by Kal Yisrael according to Rashi? What day in the base fell out of the immortal words of the Nazar Mishal Fiyash. What is Eva? If you're holding with me, look, what is Eva? Point to Rashi, Chemra. What is Eva? What was Nazar Mishal said? No. Everyone, Echad, Kol Am Yachtav, no. What is it? Hello, what? According to Rashi, when was Nasa Ben Ishma said?
When was the fifth?
The fifth of Sivan. That's clear. See, again, this is not the way that other Mefarshim, like the Ramban, are going to read the Torah. They're going to try to keep it more chronological. And a lot of things changed. The Shlepton that this part that Moshe said over, and what they hosted in the Sefer HaRis, thought that would be the next day after, if you were to say about the Torah as a Moshe man, then the Shlepton was built, and then asked the Nishma who said on Friday, everything is chronological. For Rashi, based on the Chikna Tota, you have to take the story on in Parash with the Shlepton, and the last couple of going back to Moshe going up to the mountain. That's, of course, after. But the storyline beginning with Moshe Omar, that whole section that describes the events of Pesach and Matan Torah, took place in those, within the window of those 6 days leading up to Seres. So if Rashi was Shabbat, for example, for the Chavanin, so Thursday, Friday, when the event of Parash with the Shlepton, the Teach was built in Meshavos, and the Nishmat's all on Friday. So I want to end with this because it's, I don't want to hold everybody too much, but just to have it, there's so much more you can imagine that could be, you know, parsed here and thought about, just to simply lead you with an interesting perspective of the Brisker Rav. So what did we see today? Just kind of summarize. We really didn't do much the lead up to Shkodesh, except the question of when they left to receive the but the year had been on its period. That time, when we just mentioned Mount Torah, we didn't discuss. But at least we picked up from Sukkim of Yom HaZeh Bo Midbar Sinai. We talked about the Rosh Chodesh Sivan being the arrival date, the question of when they left to feed the Shiloh. We talked about Yom HaYuchah, it's what happened in Vegas Sivan. We talked about Gil Sivan, and the response of Hashem's initial words was, we said, in the volcano, the Rosh Chodesh Moshe. Then, therefore, things had to sort of be tweaked. And that's where you have Hashem introduced in the Mitzvah Krisha, and the Mitzvah Hagvallah, Dalit and Hey Sivan, getting ready for the Yom HaShishi, according to Rabbanan, that would be Bav Sivan, according to Rabbi Yossi, the Zen Sivan, that went over. And Rashi now introduces this part of Mishpat, and puts it into the storyline of Parshas Yisro. And the question that should be asked is obvious. Why does the Torah do it? Granted, it will come with the Torah. You can have a kash. The Torah is above time and space. The Torah doesn't always follow chronology. There are all kinds of reasons why the Torah might put something out of order. But like, there still has to be some explanation of why the story of Matan Torah, which involved a series of historical events, took place. So why does the Torah leave that some of the story of Yisro? Why does the Torah the problem is, yeah, you're unmuted. Okay, no wonder. I see no one could speak before. Okay. Why does the Torah leave details of Shvatim in Yisro? So it's a very nice, if you're looking at that, I sent out to you one of the last pages, the Brisker Rav in Chumash. I want to just end with this very beautiful Brisker Rav. Brisker Rav says that, if I can use the famous Brisker language, okay? But two dimensions in Torah. There are two dimensions in Torah. It's true that they overlapped in terms of the times and the days that they occurred, but the Torah separates them because they're two distinct ideas that the Torah wants to show you that Matan Torah represents. The Matan Torah, one dimension is Matan Torah, which is to the other din of Matan Torah is Matan Torah Parshas Mishpat. But in Parshas Yisro is relevant for one issue, for one message, for one halacha, if you will. And Parshas Mishpatim has its own din and its own ramifications for where it takes us. And the Torah wants, because the Torah wants you to realize that two distinct dimensions to Matan Torah, the Torah darkly separates at the story of Parshas Yisro and the story of Parshas Mishpatim, even though they correlate and overlap in terms of the actual days. What does that mean? What exactly is the mention of Matan Torah Parshas Yisro as opposed to Parshas Mishpat? So, the Brisker Rav says as follows. If I use the terminology, I'll say the following. Anything in Parshas Yisro goes into the definition of what we call Maimar HaSinai. Masi means the event, the experience of Maimon HaSinai means that which You stood by HaSinai. You say, Ma'amad HaSinai. What's the Russian origin? Ma'amad. What does Ma'amad mean? You say, Ma'amad HaSinai. Anyone know? Where does that expression come from? Ma'amad HaSinai. So I think it's from the Pasuk says, never forget the word, that which you saw in your own eyes, with your own eyes, Yom Asher Amadita, L'Fnei Hashem Elokecha B'Chol Pe. Yom Asher Amadita, Amadita, you stood by the mountain, you stood there in Chorev, and you saw what no one else saw. You experienced something supernatural. You experienced nevuah. You yourself are the level of nevuah. You have experiences that don't let that memory cease from you. It's a myth from the Torah to remember my best. What goes into that myth? What is it that the Torah wants us to consistently remember? And when the Shaykh of Kirsten, we say every day, is the Pasuk, Kiparashas, Beskhanas, Kiras, Man, Marastina. What about the experience of Marastina is it that we have to remember and transmit to the generations to come and to kill in the forefront of our parents? What goes into Man, Marastina? The answer is what the Torah describes in Pashas. It's that there is what the Torah wants you to conjure up and flip that experience and re-experience and make part of your consciousness. Those events in mystical fit in that dimension, not the Torah. Dimension called Ma'amad HaSinai, Ma'amad Ganina, for this halacha of Zechiras, Ma'amad HaSinai, Zechar al-Tishkach, Yom HaShavah Matkos, and Pechal B'chol. We get codified in Ram and Ramban and Ramban Shem HaKodesh to remember the inner Ma'amad HaSinai. Ramban is one that really makes it famous, this idea. There's another idea, another dimension to Matan Torah, and that's Parshas Mishpat. Parshas Mishpat talks about the Krisas Bris of Matan Torah. The Krisas Bris, where Klal Yisrael underwent a ceremony entering into the Bris. That's where there were Kavanos brought, and that's why blood was sprinkled on them. What is the nature of the Krisas Bris? The Krisas Bris has its own integrity in terms of halach. But that represents the notion of geirus. Klal Yisrael underwent a transformation in status. Klal Yisrael went and entered the model of geirus, the Makris, the son of Haze, the Ibamis, the model of Kris for geirus, Loros, is Klal Yisrael and Hasina. The Gimel Dvar Nechensu Yisrael of Gris. They had Nila and Mitzrayim. That was the first step. That was back when. Now it has to do up. Somehow was accomplished at HaSinai. Exactly how is unclear. We're in the table, but the assumption is it was Tvila. There was Hatsas Damim. There were Karbanos going, the Bible sprinkled. Again, Mechuyev technically to bring a carbon. Not today, not with the Roseichem. We don't have that today, but technically again would be required to bring a carbon. There was Duas Mitzvahs and Kabbalah Mitzvahs. We know a ger who's going to become Jewish, they have to go through halachas, Mitzvahs, Mitzvahs, Kalos, Kamif, Kal, Mitzvahs, they have to step themselves, that's their halach. All of that is a parish to Chalak, is there to teach us. Moshe Rabbeinu built a Mizbeach, offers Karbanos, has the Nari B'nai Yisrael offer Karbanos. Moshe Rabbeinu reads from my Sefer HaBris, Chai Yisrael, and Nasa V'nishma. That's what you need by a geirus. When did the geirus of Matan Torah happen? That's named Machlokes Rishonim. If you say Ramban, it happened after Aseres HaDibros. This is interesting implications. When was the Krisas Bris? When was the geirus of Matan Torah? When was Nasim? When Rashi took place, maybe before Aseres HaDibros. I took place to Hasim. Why isn't it Parshas Yisroel? Parshas Yisroel is whatever is relevant for the notion called Ma'amad HaSinai, for the idea of remembering the experience of HaSinai and what it represents and how you're supposed to imagine it happening and we're there and the whole experience, the whole ruckin, all the details, and yes, for that what a person has to conjure up and never forget. Specifically, the Shartan don't go into that halach. There's a different idea. It was a gamus of Matan Torah, a gamus of Klal Yisrael, that's Parshas Mishpatim. So even though, according to Rashi, the events correlate with those of Parshas Yisrael, it's a very different idea. So the Torah takes it and makes a separate Parsha out of it, because Zeluchud v'Zeluchud. One is the din of Mamre HaSinai with all of its ramifications. One is the din of the Gemara of Matan Torah with all of its ramifications. And therefore, the Torah creates two separate parashas of Yisro and parashas Mishpatim, even though, again, if you look back at the story itself, there's overlap as in Rashi. Okay, Hashem, I think we covered a lot of ground. We covered a couple of days of